Lord, thank you again for the grace that you have poured out on us. We are so undeserving, and yet you are so gracious. We thank you for that. Thank you for bringing Philip to us. I just pray now that you will work in his heart to bring us the message that you would have for us. May we hear from you tonight, and may we walk in your ways. Bless him as he speaks. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you. Well, good evening to all of you, and a greeting in Jesus' name. I just echo that friendship with David is mutual. I've known him for quite a number of years. You know him a lot better than I do, but I would know David as a man with a big heart for God and a big heart for people. And so I think you've been blessed to have a leader like that. At a time like this, I'm reminded of the words of Paul that he wrote in 1 Corinthians, 2nd chapter, verse 3, and he writes like this, and it sort of expresses my feelings a bit here tonight. It says, I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. Now, I suppose that perhaps some of those feelings may be mutual. I don't know what you're feeling. But I suppose that most likely there's some apprehension. Maybe just a little fear. At least some nervousness. That's okay. That's fine. If you're feeling some of those, it's normal. But I would also like to think that along with that, that there's perhaps a bit of feeling of, would excitement be the right word? At least a holy excitement. An anticipation would maybe be a better word. An anticipation because of what God is going to do. And that's exciting, isn't it? I think it is. But my encouragement is just relax and allow God's peace to fill your heart. You know, this is a very, very special time for you as a church. These are God moments. And I believe that God has great plans for you as a church here at Center. You believe that? I believe he does. Changes, yes. And sometimes we don't like change. They're not all bad. So again, may your hearts just find a rest as you trust in God. I'd like to begin tonight with turning to 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 7 through 11, and I've chosen this particular passage of Scripture as a theme for this weekend. It's not necessarily going to be a text, but I'd like for this to be a theme. And I have four things from this passage that I'd like to just sort of keep in front of us. And I invite you to stand as we read the Word. You're comfortable in standing, and I like if you would maybe just help me read this, okay? I know it's a little tricky to read together, but let's try it, okay? 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 7 through 11. But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer, and above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you. Someone want to venture what four things from this passage of Scripture that we could apply to this weekend? Do you do responsive preaching, David?
Whatever that is, sometimes.
Okay. So you're allowed to talk, okay? Yes. Were you giving an indication? No, okay. Anyone, what are some things that we could take with us from this passage for this weekend?
Fervent love for one another.
Fervent love for one another. That's right. That's one of the things I'd like to just sort of hold in front of us. Fervent love for each other. You know, our love for the church changes our perspective on a lot of things about the church. And maybe we'll talk about that sometime later in this weekend. What else? Okay, serving one another. Okay, great. It's not really one that I had, but that's great. We'll look at that sometime as well. Anything else? Yes.
Watching unto prayer.
Yes, that's one I like to hold in front of us. Certainly we need to pray. And I was blessed as you just gathered in little groups tonight and prayed. That's what we need to do, pray. Yes, what else? Okay, use your gifts to minister to others. I don't have it quite like that, but I have this, that we all have a calling, all right? As every man hath received the gift, everyone has a calling, okay? I like to sort of hold that in front of us. And then the last one, the fourth one, is in verse 11, the very last part of the verse, that God would be glorified. God would receive the glory. And so those four things, I kind of like to hold in front of us as we look at this weekend. And I'd like to just also, as we begin here tonight, I'd like to suggest that this weekend is not just about church leadership. Is that all right? This weekend involves each one. Everyone. Everyone has a part in the kingdom of God. Everyone has some gift, some role to play in the church. Verse 10, as every man or woman hath received the gift. I read this somewhere, and I think I may have even heard it. Everyone has a gift, all the way from the janitor down to the bishop. So while each of us do have a calling, we'd also like to focus somewhat this weekend in anticipation that God is going to specifically call a brother to a leadership role in this church here at Center. And so for the text tonight, I invite you to 1 Kings chapter 19. Now, this is not necessarily a text where I'm going to be spending all evening, but I'm going to use this story and apply some lessons from it. We have here in 1 Kings 19, we have the account of Elijah passing on the mantle to Elisha. The title of the message tonight, Preparing for the Mantle. Preparing for the mantle. You know, Elijah had been running for his life from Queen Jezebel. He'd spent some time in the wilderness, in depression, underneath the juniper tree, and asked God to just simply take his life. From there, he went to a cave in Mount Horeb, The Lord tried a number of ways to get his attention, and then finally, in a still small voice, Elijah listened to God. And here's what God had to say to him in 1 Kings 19, beginning to read in verse 15. Reading 15 through the end of the chapter. The Lord said unto him, Elijah, go return on thy way to the wilderness of Damascus, and when thou comest, anoint Hazael to be king over Syria. And Jehu, the son of Nimshi, shalt thou anoint to be king over Israel. And Elijah, the son of Shaphat of Abel-Meholah, thou shalt anoint to be prophet in thy room. And it shall come to pass that when him that escapeth the sword of Hazael shall Jehu slay, and him that escapeth from the sword of Jehu shall Elijah slay. Yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which hath not kissed him. So he departed thence, and found Elisha the son of Shaphat, who was plying with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he was with the 12th. And Elijah passed by him and cast his mantle upon him. And he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, let me, I pray thee, kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow thee. And he said unto him, go back again, for what have I done to thee? And he turned back from him and took a yoke of oxen and slew them and boiled their flesh with the instruments of the oxen and gave unto the people, and they did eat. Then he arose and went after Elijah and ministered unto him. Now, this is maybe just a little unique way of passing on the mantle. But in the Old Testament, there were three different kinds of mantles. The mantle here was an official garment of a prophet. And the mantle automatically marked a man as a prophet of God, a spokesman. It was a symbol of commitment and sacrifice. And so the mantle represented the man's gift, the call of God, and the purpose for which God had called him. Now, I'm not sure how that mantle would have looked, but I brought something that I thought maybe just might show it just a little bit. Now, can you picture Elijah coming up to Elisha and just throwing the mantle, and he kept right on walking? Now, the little conversation I've had with David, I don't think that's what you're going to be anticipating this weekend. I don't think he's just going to walk past the ministers and just fling it at them. Although sometimes it almost feels that way, right? The mantle. You know, some ways we can identify with that. Preparing for the mantle. I have just a few lessons that I'd like to draw from this account here for us tonight, and I think it will apply. Number one, the call, the mantle, whatever you want to call it, the gift comes from God. It's God that gives us the mantle. The Lord specifically in this story, specifically told Elijah, go and anoint Elisha to be your successor. Now, do you really believe God was going to call someone to this specific work? You believe that? You know, if we really believe that, doesn't that give us a peace and a rest in our hearts to think that God is going to do the calling? I'm reminded of when Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 concerning the gifts. Here's what he says in verse 18. But now hath God set the members, every one of them in the body, as it hath pleased him. So it's God that does the calling. The Weymouth New Testament says, and by God's appointment. I like that. It's God that does the appointing. You know, that truth not only brings us a peace about it this weekend, I believe that truth that God places the mantle on someone goes even beyond
just this weekend, when things perhaps get a little rough, when there's some discouragement setting in, when there's some difficulties to work through, we can look back and be assured that it was God that did the calling. Do you think God ever made any mistakes? I can see a few heads going that way. Do you think he ever will? So can't we just trust him? I think we can. So it's God that calls. Secondly, the call comes through others. We see God in this story. He used Elijah to place the mantle on Elisha. I think today the lesson is that God uses the church to reveal that call, that mantle that he wants to place on your life. We see this pattern followed in the New Testament. We could turn to the book of Acts, chapter 6. I believe it's verse 3 where it says, "Wherefore, brethren," the church, "wherefore, the brethren, look out among you. Wherefore, center church, look out among you." You know, even though God is the one that gives the call, you have a responsibility as a church in helping to, in discerning God's will on who to call to this work. Do not take this responsibility lightly. Take it seriously with prayer and fasting. And you know, isn't it somewhat humbling to think that God wants to use the church to reveal his will in such a matter as this? Does that mean that all of you will be voting for the same person? Not necessarily. Does this mean that if you voice for the one that is not called, that there's something wrong with you? Again, no. Not at all. You know what? In Acts chapter 1, they sort of ran into this same problem. You know what? They were looking for one man, and they had two nominees. And so they used the lot. Now, I'm well aware that there are a lot of different opinions on using the lot. And I'm not here to discuss that at length. And I don't want to necessarily give my opinion. But I'd like to suggest that if a church agrees on a certain method, and if they're in agreement, I believe God is going to honor that. Scripture tells us the lot causes contentions to cease and parteth between the mighty. So the lot does not relieve the church of its responsibility in discerning and making proper choices. Not at all. The lot simply chooses between the mighty. So God calls, he calls through the church, and even though it's a call from God, you have a part in discerning that call. Now let's look at just a few lessons from the response of Elisha. I have four things, and then we'll wrap this up tonight. Number one, God calls those already at work. Where was Elisha when Elijah came with the mantle? Working in the field. Yes, it says he was plying with 12 yoke of oxen. He was already busy. Isn't that too true to life? Likely most of you have plenty to do. If you're in good health and if you're able, you're most likely not looking for more to do. Do you know the scripture teaches us that God rewards faithfulness in responsibilities with more responsibilities? I don't know if I really like that. That's what he teaches us in the parable of the pounds in Luke. I believe it's chapter 19. Yes, Luke 19. Remember the merchant went on a faraway journey, left his possessions in charge of others. When he came back, he called for an account. The first one came. He had 10. He gained another 10. The second one, 5. He gained another 5. The last one came and didn't have anything. He wasn't doing anything. What was the verdict? He said, take away even that he has and give to someone who's already at work. I guess the lesson for us that I like for to take to my heart and leave with you is simply stay busy, stay active in the call that God has placed on you now. Don't wait around for some great call, some great mantle to come flying at you. Keep plying with the oxen and be faithful right where you are. That's what Elisha was doing. He was already busy at work. Secondly, number two, Elisha was available. I'm fairly confident Elisha knew what it meant when Elijah came and threw this at him. He knew what it meant. His response was, let me go kiss father and mother goodbye. Then I'm ready. That's all he needed to do to answer the call. He was available to go. His life wasn't so cluttered and so filled up with stuff that he was not available to go. He didn't say, well, you know, just, I have, you know, I really need to stay around a while. I have this big debt. I need to pay the farm. There's just so much in my life right now. I really can't answer it right now. You just keep your mantle for at least a year or two and then come back. Not what he said. You know, we're kind of maybe too much like that. You know, we have our plans for our life, or we think we do. You know, we have things we'd like to do. We have goals we'd like to accomplish. It's not wrong to have that. But let's make sure that when the mantle comes, plans change, we can say, okay, we're at your disposal. It's okay. Thirdly, and this one is related, but thirdly, Elisha was willing. He was willing. Verse 20 says, he ran. He ran after Elijah. Doesn't that speak volumes? He ran after him. Willing to answer the call, a willingness to serve. 1 Peter 5, chapter 2. Peter addresses church leaders in this chapter. Verse 2, he gives these instructions. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly. You know, not because we have to, but willingly or voluntarily. There's a verse in 1 Timothy chapter 3. Verse 1. I'm not going to ask how many of you memorized this verse. This is a true saying. If a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. I'm wondering if maybe our Mennonite culture may sort of hinder us from really appreciating what's being written here. I'm not downing our culture one bit. But I believe there's a huge difference in between being willing to serve or have a selfish, unholy itch for leadership. That's not what this verse is implying. I believe this verse is confirming God is looking for someone who is willing to take up the mantle and to lead. I had to think of Moses. Remember when God called him? You know, at first he thought he could do it. Later he said he couldn't. And then finally he was willing. You know, God has his ways of getting us ready. He has his ways of getting us to where he wants us. He has his ways of making us willing. You know, sometimes, at least I find it that way, my flesh doesn't really want to. Maybe you're not that fleshly. There's times when I'm just not that willing. I believe God wants someone to pick up the mantle that is willing to say, God, whatever way, whenever, however, you want to use me. And shouldn't that be for each one of us, whatever, regardless of what calling God is placing on your life, whatever mantle he's asking you to pick up, you're willing to say, I'm willing. And so maybe our prayer should be, Lord, make me willing. Make me willing. All rightly, fourthly then, and lastly, number 4, Elisha made the sacrifice. Elisha's farewell. Read, he took a yoke of oxen, took the plow and harness, whatever it was, the implements he was plying with. He built a fire. And he roasted the oxen and gave it to his family and friends. It's probably the first ox roast we read about in Scripture. He knew it would take sacrifice. Serving means sacrifice. We may as well accept that fact. And when we pick up the mantle, it calls for sacrifice. You know, it's not about us anyway, is it? It's not about our personal comforts. It's not about being well-liked or well-accepted for serving. God really wants all of us. He wants us to give him everything. Who we are, who we're not, and all that we have. Our time, our energy, our resources, our talents and gifts. They all come from Him anyway. But He wants us to simply give them back to Him. It looks to me like that's a full surrender. God is looking for people to serve without reservations. We're at His disposal. The mantle, the gift, is constant. We put it on and it stays on. Again, it calls for total surrender of our will to His and saying, God, I'm willing. I'm willing to sacrifice whatever it takes, whatever You want from me. As we close here, again, just remember, all of us have some kind of call. God wants to use each one of you in a special way in His kingdom. He has a mantle for each one of you. Remember, it's God that calls. He's the one that places the gifts in the church as He sees fit best. And then the call comes to the church. And then as we think about preparing for the mantle, are you already involved in the work? Are you available? Are you willing? Are you prepared to sacrifice? May God just richly bless you, each one of you, as you continue. Just simply wait on God to have His will revealed for the church here at Center. May God bless you. We'll turn the time back over to Brother David.